Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, you can find that in your bulletins on the insert I have placed in there, the text from the English Standard Version. And this is our second sermon on Psalm 27, the first one with the title Faith Over Fear last week, focused on the first half of the psalm. And this morning we will focus on the second half of Psalm 27, again with that theme, how Psalm 27 teaches us to have faith over fear. And so let us begin with our scripture reading, which comes from Psalm 27, and we'll read all the verses 1 through 14 of Psalm 27. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Psalm 27. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the health and wealth gospel that has been so prevalent in the church for so many years. The gospel that teaches concerning faith over your fears, that the answer is found by having enough faith. That if you have enough faith in Jesus, or if you come to believe in Jesus and have enough faith in Him, God will answer your prayers. God will give you what you have been asking for. God will help you conquer whatever you fear. If you're having financial troubles, this gospel message teaches that if you believe in Christ and have enough faith, God will bless you. If you're having health issues, if you have enough faith, if you believe in Christ, God will heal you. And somehow if He doesn't, maybe something is wrong with your faith and your trust in Him. In other words, according to this health and wealth gospel, as long as you have faith in Christ and enough faith in Him, all your problems will go away. But one of the things I like most about Psalm 27 is that when you read this psalm as a whole, there is no one that completes the reading of this psalm, this reading of God's word, that can have that view. For at the heart of Psalm 27 is this message: faith in God does not spare you from difficulty. But faith in God equips you to live with enough courage and hope, all the courage and hope that you need, whatever difficulties may come your way. Now you remember, in our last sermon, we pointed out that Psalm 27 is about faith over fear. And in the first half of the psalm, David describes for us exactly what his fears are, what his concerns are, what his situation is. He begins in verse 1 with those two images, the Lord as my light, and the third line, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. God as his light, God as his stronghold. And as you understand those images, you are familiar with the understanding that David is referring to the images of the Lord, but it means he's in a situation which is the opposite. That means that David finds himself in a dark situation. That means that David finds himself in an open place where he is exposed and his defenses are down. And in verses 2 and 3, he describes in more detail the situation he's in. When evildoers assail against me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes. Verse 3, though an army encamp around me. And the third line of verse 3, though war arise against me. David has enemies assailing him. They're ready to pounce. They're ready to destroy him. He is calling out to God for help. He recognizes that without the Lord, he has no hope. So David finds his hope in verse 1 in the fact that the Lord is his light in this dark and desperate situation. He recognizes with the hope that the Lord is his stronghold when his defenses are down and he is surrounded by evildoers, when he is surrounded by an army that is encamped around him. And yet you see him in verse 3, those final words of that verse express his faith. Yet I will be confident. We don't know exactly where Psalm 27 applies to David's life. As we read the book of Samuel and we read about David, we think of him out in the wilderness, apart as King Saul is trying to chase him and to kill him. We think of the time when Absalom, his very own son, tried to kill him and ran him out of Jerusalem and even out of the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. Evildoers seeking to destroy him and eat his flesh and encamped around him with his defenses down, away from the protective walls of Jerusalem. How often do we not find ourselves and believers find themselves in such situations? The news of an illness faced with darkness ahead of you. Difficult financial situations. Troubles with a relationship in your life, whether it be family or a child or a marriage, whatever it may be. Darkness all around you, and it seems so hopeless in terms of your own ability to fix that situation. And yet, what does David do? We saw last week his prayer, his focus, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. David's focus in this situation, his light in this situation, his stronghold in this situation is the Lord. He's not praying that God will somehow bail him out financially in an unexpected way. He's not praying and thinking that somehow in his prayer God will deliver him from the darkness or the situation he's in specifically for that earthly situation. Instead, his prayer, his one thing that he asks of the Lord is that he will continually, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the darkness, that he will dwell in the presence of the Lord, that he will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that he will be in the presence of the Lord face to face. And when he understands that, verse 5, he knows that the Lord is his shelter in the day of trouble. He knows that he is concealed under the cover of his tent. He knows that God will lift him high upon a rock. He has that spiritual protection, that spiritual concealment in the midst of that situation. And he feels the presence and the grace of God and as his head is lifted up, verse 6, above the enemies all around him, because he is the Lord's, he offers sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and making melody to the Lord. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the defenseless situation, David finds the Lord, the presence of the Lord as his light. He finds the presence of the Lord as his stronghold in life. And he offers his praise and thanksgiving. No matter how dark and defenseless it is, he offers his praise and thanksgiving and shouts of joy and his worship to the Lord. For he belongs to the Lord's, and he is the Lord's. Now, someone who reads this psalm and stops at verse 6 might say to themselves, well, isn't David then giving us sort of an easy answer to life's problems? We think of that health and wealth gospel that all you have to do is trust in God and God will answer your problems. And if you have enough trust, he will deliver you. If you don't, he might not. But you just need to trust him more. Isn't David doing a similar thing? You find yourself in a dark and defenseless situation, and David is telling you to pray. He's telling you to make the Lord your focus. He's telling you to go to church and to worship and to sing praise to him no matter what the circumstances. But what about the pain? What about how do you yet on earth deal with the problem at hand? You pray, and the problem, the earthly problem, is still there. You trust, but the earthly problem is still there. And so in the second half of the psalm, David begins to speak about how he responds on earth to the earthly situation that yet surrounds him. Remember last week we pointed out that Psalm 27 has been called by some as a backward psalm. That means some have said, well, this psalm, Psalm 27, doesn't begin with a cry for help. We think of other psalms, and so many of the psalms begin with a cry for help, like Psalm 22, where David begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at the end of the psalm, he works it out and expresses his faith. But Psalm 27, some have said, is backward compared to so many of the other psalms, because it starts out, as we have just seen, with this faith of David, with his trust, with his confidence in the Lord that has already been expressed. And there is no cry for help until you come to verse 7 where he cries, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You see, David is realistic in this psalm. He's not just giving some pious, simple advice about trust and trusting him more and everything will be okay. David is experiencing the pain of his situation. He is quivering in his voice, verse 7, when he cries out, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me, you see. David understands exactly the situation that any believer goes through who finds themselves in darkness and a defenseless situation. This prayer, verse 7, is the prayer that many of us and many believers will pray. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. It seems as if the Lord is not answering his prayer in the situation he finds himself in. And he cries, and he prays, and he asks for God's grace, and his desperation in his voice saying, Lord, answer me. And what has he done? Verse 8. You have said, Lord, seek my face. And my heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Now David is looking at the situation. And he looks at his life and he says, what am I supposed to do? What has God told me to do through his prophets and in his word? God tells us when we find ourselves in a dark and defenseless situation that we have to seek him, that we have to pray to Him, that we have to trust Him. We know that. The Bible tells us that's what we're supposed to do. And David is saying, as he offers his prayer for help, my heart is saying that to you, Lord. Your face, Lord, do I seek. He is seeking the face of the Lord. He is seeking the light that the face of the Lord will shine upon him in this situation. It is the focus of his prayer. It is the focus of his one thought, verse 4, to seek after the place, the dwelling place of the Lord. And he seeks after in this situation, face to face in his relationship with the Lord. This is his prayer. This is what he's saying. This is how he has responded. And yet, it seems as if the Lord isn't answering. He looks at the situation around him and he says, what is changing? I don't see any change here. And you know how he feels? Look how he expresses it in verse 9. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. It seems as if David is acknowledging in verse 9 that perhaps he has done something wrong. Perhaps he has done something that has led this situation to come upon him, this dark and defenseless situation. Maybe it's the situation when he had failed to deal with his son Absalom, and now Absalom has run him out of the city of Jerusalem and trying to kill him and trying to take over the kingdom. We don't know exactly the situation it's in, but we understand what David is saying in verse 9 is, Lord, I have sought your face. Lord, I have responded as you have called me to respond, praying to you, looking to you, and hide not your face from me. It seems that you have, because the situation isn't getting better, but I have experienced your grace in the past, Lord, and continue to shine your face upon me. Don't turn me away in anger. Don't cast me off or forsake me. You have always been my help, and I continue to pray to you and pray and focus that you will answer my prayers because, look at that last line, O God of my salvation. He knows, David knows, his only hope is the Lord. His only way out of the darkness and defenselessness of his situation is the Lord. The Lord is his light. The Lord is his stronghold. And even though it doesn't feel like the Lord is with him, even though it doesn't feel as he looks around him like the situation is changing or that God is answering his prayers, he knows and continues to acknowledge that God alone is his salvation. In fact, in verse 10, he uses a human analogy for us, a human relationship analogy. Verse 10, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now, all through the stories of David in 1 and 2 Samuel, we don't read of any situation where the Lord or where David's parents forsake him. In fact, throughout the book, we see references to his parents as if David is taking care of them and providing for them. And when Saul was trying to find him, he even made a deal with the king of Moab that he would protect his parents as Saul was trying to kill him. But what David is doing here in verse 10, as he speaks of the father-mother relationship, as he speaks of how others around him, even in a father-mother relationship, they may forsake him. But he acknowledges in verse 10 that the Lord never will. The Lord will take me in. It happens, but it's unusual, you see, for a father or a mother to completely forsake a son or a child. David is reflecting that in verse 10. Even if that happens, even if a father or mother forsake me, the Lord will take me in. He is expressing his faith, his confidence in the Lord, that even though it may seem, based on his circumstances, based on the darkness he's in, and the defenseless situation where there's nothing he can do to help himself, he acknowledges that his only hope of salvation is the Lord. And the Lord has not hidden his face. The Lord has not turned away from his servant in anger. The Lord has not forsaken him. But he is the Lord's. And then as he goes on to verse 11, look how David prays. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Do you hear how David is praying? He doesn't understand the situation. He doesn't know how it happened. Who knows? Maybe he looks back on his life and he realizes that he's made mistakes or he's done the wrong thing time after time or once. But there he sits and it seems as if it doesn't get better. And it seems, based on his earthly wisdom, there is no hope of God changing it. And so how does he pray in verse 11? Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. I once had someone say, Pastor Rob, it seems that my situation isn't getting better. I'm in a dark situation. I pray and I pray about it, and God's kind face doesn't seem to turn toward me in that situation. It seems like it isn't getting better, and it just continues to be dark, and I continue to be unable, defenseless, unable to do anything to change it or make it better. And David tells us in Psalm 27, but how are you praying? Teach me, O Lord, your way, and lead me on a level path. Oh, how hard it is to pray that way. We pray, Lord, make it better. Lord, change it. Change this. Change that. Fix it. We don't know how, but fix it or make it better. That's how we want to pray, and that's how we interpret the answer to that prayer. If it happens, then God has heard us and blessed us. And that's the health and wealth gospel. But you see in verse 11, David is praying in the context of a situation where he doesn't know how it's going to work out. He doesn't see any change. And yes, it feels like maybe God isn't answering his prayer. And so instead of praying, Lord, fix it. And if he isn't fixing it, then he isn't answering. David prays, Lord, teach me your way. Lord, there's something about this situation that you are teaching me. Humble me. Enable me to understand it. Help me to see it through it. Help me always to have my heart, my ways on a level path. Maybe the Lord is teaching me something that I have been doing wrong, that needs to be corrected, that needs to be changed, so that once again through this situation, you're teaching me and steering me towards a place where I can be on that level path, that standing, that level ground of the foundation of belonging to God and belonging to Christ. You see, as David prays in his heart, Lord, your face do I seek. He is rooted in his relationship with God. He is rooted first of all and foremost in the fact that God is his light and the stronghold of his life. And because he knows those things, because he has that firm foundation of seeking the Lord and he belongs to the Lord, he can now look around him at his earthly circumstance, at his enemies, at the darkness that surrounds him, whatever that situation may be. And he can say, teach me, Lord, your way. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Verse 12, give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. Again, as you look at this psalm, you see the same language in the last part as in the first part of the psalm. In verses 2 and 3, he has described his adversaries. He has described the evildoers who seek to destroy him, who seek to surround him, who seek to tempt him, calling down false witnesses saying, the Lord isn't going to help you. It does no good to trust in the Lord. We're going to destroy you. We are more powerful. We are going to seek to take you off that level foundation, that level path. We're going to turn you into darkness with no light. And with your defenses down, you are vulnerable. David prays, verse 12, give me not up to the will of my adversaries. You see, David's help from the Lord in this situation is not necessarily that God directly answers his situation and makes it all better. But David's help in this situation, verse 12, is that God does not allow him to go down the path of giving in to his adversaries. That God continues by his grace to protect him, to strengthen him, to enable him through the darkness and defenseless situation to be taught God's way. And comforted by the fact that he belongs to him. And so in verse 13, as David begins to conclude this psalm, we have in verse 13 David's confession. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All through the psalm, David is expressing his understanding of the place of the Lord. He expresses it in 4 through 6 as he speaks of the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the tent of the Lord. He expresses it in verse 8 as he says, seek my face, you have said, and my heart says to you, Lord, I seek your face. Face to face, the presence of the Lord, that's the land of the living that David seeks. And how does David get there? You see, in the center of this psalm, as David speaks of the tent, as he thinks of the place of the Lord, as he speaks of the sacrifices of the Lord at the end of verse 6, he is speaking in terms of an Old Testament house of the Lord, the tabernacle, but the Old Testament tabernacle, the place of the sacrifices and worship, foreshadows God's plan of redemption, God's Son, who would come and bring his people into the land of the living. And as David confesses in verse 13, he is being a prophet so that these words in verse 13 are the words that can be on your lips. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How do you get to that land of the living? You get to that land of the living through God's temple, through God's Son, through God's Son who became Emmanuel, God with us, who walked this same path through darkness, who walked this same path through a defenselessness as he hung upon the cross, who brought about the salvation of God for his people through his death on the cross at the hands of evildoers, adversaries and foes, an army encamped around him. He never quivered. As the pangs of hell came upon him, as he hung on that cross, the wrath of God for the sins of his people, not for his own, but for the sins of his people, he continued in his focus on the Lord and dwelling with the Lord in his house. And he is now face to face with the Father in heaven. He is now at the right hand of God, and he has brought all his people there in that land of the living, so they too can be in that place. And so the confession of verse 13 is the confession of any believer in the midst of a dark and defenseless situation. They look through that situation and they see the light of heaven. They see the stronghold of the Lord, and they say to themselves, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, no matter how bad it gets here. And then David concludes, verse 14, with a word for all the readers of this psalm, a word which he has learned in his life and applied to himself. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You pray and you pray, and the situation does not seem to change. It only seems to worsen. It gets darker. You feel more and more defenseless. You're saying, Lord, we're turning to you. We're seeking your face. We want you to show us your way out. Lead us on the level path. But it doesn't change. And David prays, and he tells us to pray. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Do you see how he repeats it? Wait for the Lord at the top. Wait for the Lord at the bottom. Be strong and let your heart take courage, sandwiched in between. Be strong in your heart. Be strong in your faith. And as you wait upon the Lord, he will show you that way. He will show you his plan. He will show you his deliverance. Oh, how hard it is to pray and to do that. Sometimes God doesn't always give us the quick answer we want. Sometimes the health and wealth gospel that some people proclaim and teach of a quick answer or an immediate answer or a answer to that specific request doesn't come your way. And you're left waiting with what seems to be no answer. And that's why David concludes this psalm. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Continue to be strong. Continue to let your heart take courage, because you belong to him. And you belong to Christ, and he has given you the salvation you need, and you long to be in the land of the living, where you will be and with Christ and our Savior face to face. But yet for now, in this external circumstance that you face, you wait and you wait and take courage. Notice that the psalm doesn't let you think this is a passive waiting. Well, nothing I have to do, I just wait. No, this is an active waiting, you see. Because in verse 6, he goes to the place of the Lord and he offers sacrifices. And he does it with shouts of joy and he sings and he makes melody to the Lord. That means that there is worship going on as he is waiting. There is a listening, verse 11, to God's word. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. There is an active waiting that's going on here. He continues in his relationship with the Lord to seek God's word, to seek God's face, and to give praise and glory to him in the situation that he's in. And yet he waits for God's direction, for God's answer, for God's blessing to come upon him. And it may mean, we do not know, but it may mean that he would not be delivered from the earthly situation he finds himself in. This psalm, as I mentioned last week, is read on many, many of the sick and dying in the hospital. And some of them do not pull through. But yet, in their heart, they are strong and courageous, for they long to be with the Lord. That is their one focus, and that doesn't change, and that will never be taken away. The heart of the message of Psalm 27 is this. Faith in God does not spare you from difficulty, but faith in God equips you with enough courage and hope that whatever difficulty may come your way, you find your strength in God's presence and God's grace. May we follow the path of David as he wrote this psalm. May this be the expression of our hearts as well. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this psalm and this reminder once again of what it means to live before you. For we know that you are our light and our stronghold. And so often, Lord, as darkness comes our way, as we find ourselves in defenseless situations, we seek, O Lord, to find our own answer or our own solution, sometimes, Lord, not turning to you. But yet, Lord, the psalmist reminds us that we cannot do it without you. Help us, Lord, to make you our focus and your presence our focus, no matter what. May we know, as we have focused on you as our eternal light and salvation, that the world around us and its darkness cannot harm us, for we are yours. Give us the grace, O God, to be taught your way, even when it seems we don't understand. Give us the grace, O Lord, to wait upon you, for your grace to be at work in us, for your grace to change the situation we're in. Lord, enable us, no matter what the situation, to take courage in you, that our hearts may be strong, that we may not be given over to the will of our adversaries who seek to destroy us. We thank you for our Savior, who walked this path before us so that we are his, so that we know we will be in the land of the living with you and with him face to face. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.